time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
Yesterday, I spoke to National MP Christopher Luxon as part of our weekly interview. We spoke last night rather than today because he's currently busy in Blenheim for the Local Government New Zealand Conference in his role as National's local government spokesperson. We discussed what he was up to there and the main topic on every mayor's mind right now, Three Waters Reform. We also discussed another pretty significant issue, the government's funding of $2.75 million to a meth rehabilitation program led in part by the mongrel mob. The program in Hastings was trialled in early 2020 and proved successful and successfully applied for funding from the government. However, many people, particularly National and ACT, have hit out at the proposal, arguing it would just line the pockets of gang leaders who are responsible for New Zealand's meth problem in the first place. I spoke to Luxon about alternative meth rehabilitation programs and how the government and police should deal with gangs in the first place. I started, though, by asking Luxon what the response of everyone at the local government conference has been to the Three Waters reforms.
Well, it's been pretty mixed because, you know, as you and I have talked before, essentially there are many, many councils that are managing their water assets incredibly well and have done so over a number of years. You know, essentially they're rate payers. Or citizens have actually been paying rates each year over the last 30 years, and they might have paid slightly higher amounts than other places, but they've ended up actually being able to then use that fund to invest in upgrading their water infrastructure. There's obviously a few, particularly small populations, large rural areas that are a bit more challenged. But in essence, what's happened here is that the government has spent $4 million trying to run an advertising campaign saying that water's terrible everywhere in New Zealand, and that hasn't been well received at all by any of the mayors and or CEOs, because it sort of is painting them as having done a terrible job when that's not the case. The real question is, well, what's the best mechanic and mechanism to actually deal with the challenges that we've got that is fit for purpose and very tailored to each of these individual areas? And I think, frankly, it won't work. And then what will happen, as we've talked before, is that the minister will need to come in and actually mandate that they are going to take assets off all the councils and put them into these water entities as a result.
Is it an issue that central government can force local governments to do particular things?
Yeah, I think the problem, to be honest, I know, is that what happens often is that the government will actually make a decision in Wellington, and it just throws it over the fence for local government to go off and implement. The bigger issue here is that the government is very much on a centralisation, we know best sort of bent. I think New Zealand is already probably the most centralised country on earth in terms of the way money is divided between central and local government, mostly sitting with central government. And that's where it's going to go more and more so as a result of these reforms.
Do you say New Zealand is possibly one of the most centralised countries in the world? Going back to my question again, would you like to see a change to how state and central government interact? Constitutionally or something, should local governments be given more power?
Well, I think it's more about the mechanisms by which we try and make it work. I think what we need first and foremost is great clarity about what central government does, great clarity about what local government does. And that's what I hope this local government review, which will go on for the next two or so years, will actually really bottom out, because there's a lot of blurred lines as to where local and central government pass on.
So until then, are you not sure whether or not we should make change? Do we just have to wait a few years?
No. We know there's some things that we could be doing to drive better partnering between local and central government, because they uniquely should be able, you know, we've got to think about what do we want New Zealand to look like in the 2040s. We'll still be a growing, prosperous country, we hope. It's out there in the world trying to earn its living. No one owes us living. We've got to go out there and hunt and bring it back home to New Zealand. But within the country, we want a partnership happening between local and central government. And I think there's just different ways by which we could go about doing that and that's really in the mechanisms by which government receives money.
Well, I'd like to move on to talk about something quite different now. Over the past week, there's been a bit of a scandal, I guess, around the government giving $2.75 million towards a meth rehabilitation program led by the mongrel mob, and National and a decent amount of New Zealanders have come out strongly against it. What does National propose as an alternative to help New Zealand's drug problem, specifically around meth?
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of great programs that are working around meth addiction across this country. And if you look at one that's been the most successful, it's sort of a corruption of an American program called Matrix. And essentially, why we're annoyed about that decision is essentially when criminals are captured and prosecuted, and the funds from their crimes are actually expropriated from them and are put into a fund, the idea of that money is that it's supposed to then help addicts, get through their addiction, with a really classic healthcare kind of response. Our real issue, and what's really morally, I think, repugnant, is that you've got taxpayer money and also money from the victims of criminals being given back to a criminal organisation. So let's be really clear. There's 8,000 plus gang members in this country. There's 10,000 police. The gangs have become very big organised crime, large commercial entities, because the meth business is a very big business in New Zealand, and they are pushing it really, really hard, and there's a big drive for market share, as there is for many different products and categories of products that consumers consume, and they're pushing that incredibly hard. And then for us to go give $2.5 million back to the same people who are actually creating the addiction and putting this scourge of meth on, which is impacting everyone in New Zealand, I think, knows someone in their family or their friends circles that are actually impacted by meth. And that's just not good enough that money's being used that way. And I think it is quite fair that people are quite strong about that, because that is not something that should be tolerated. There is more people who are hooked up on meth that could have received that $2.5 million, $2.75 million.
Do you think there are situations where working with gangs could be useful? Because the Labour government, from what I can tell, has sort of decided, well, perhaps working with them could help solve something. And we saw recently Marama Davidson
I'm really sorry, but you've got to draw a line somewhere and say what's an absolute sort of code, And let's be clear, these are people who cause misery and peddle meth, and it's a scourge across New Zealand. It's like nothing we've seen before. And these guys are full bore at growing their business. That's what they're there to do. And you saw the same mongrel mob caught in the transnational app, sting, and people captured, people prosecuted, and you'll be hopefully going through jail. But, something's going wrong in New Zealand when we're actually saying we're going to give money back to the same people that are pushing these drugs. You stop pushing the drugs and then we'll have a different conversation. But there are much more worthy organisations that are genuinely trying to help addicts, and I've seen many of them across the country, and that's the place I would have put $2.75 million rather than doing this.
Well, perhaps not giving money, but at least working with gangs to sort of understand the underlying
issues. So stop selling drugs, mate. But get them to stop selling drugs and then we'll have a conversation, because I'm telling you, that is the root cause of our problem here in New Zealand. So get back to problem definition and what's the problem.
So how do you propose we do that? Because it is, I agree they should stop selling drugs, but I'm not sure if they're going to listen to me when I say that.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? You go in there, lovely, kumbaya, wonderful, let's sit down and have a chat about what we can do to stop drugs. Do you think they're seriously going to stop their business model? They are a business. They are an organised crime unit. That's what we've been proven. They're right up there with the rest in the world that do that. And we're going to sit down and say, oh, tell me about your problems. How do we help you overcome your drug problems? Well, the point is, you stop selling the stuff. That would be job number one. So until we get clear about stop that, then we can have another conversation.
So is retributive justice the answer then, in terms of prosecuting them strongly? Mm-hmm.
What's the alternative? What would you think would be the alternative to that? That we go soft on drugs, that it's okay, that the gangs can sell it on one hand and then participate in drug rehabilitation programs?
Well, I think what Labour...
Where someone is mowing the lawns of the chapter president,
Yeah, well, what I think Labour and perhaps someone like Marama Davidson, who visited one of the mongrel mob chapters, is sort of proposing is you can at least try and have a conversation to understand some of the root causes that lead people to join gangs, rather than just strictly prosecuting every single gang member. Do you think that's a legitimate route?
I don't think that permissive attitude kind of works. I think you find society breaks down really quickly. There are rights and responsibilities on every citizen in this country, that they have certain rights as New Zealanders, they have certain responsibilities to hold up their end and be good people in that process. And you can't just say it's all rights and then no responsibility. And so, I get it, but the root cause of gang membership is a whole bunch of other issues that we should be working on, and using social investment and really deep targeting and spending of money when we know where people are vulnerable to gangs. And
well, one final point on this, and then I'll let you go. The approach of New Zealand towards gangs over the past few decades, there's been a strong increase in gangs, and from what I can tell, the approach towards gangs has still been quite retributive. It's still been putting people in prison rather than working with them. How would you sort of evaluate the past few decades in terms of dealing with gangs? Is it just we need to go even harder on them?
We haven't been hard on gangs, Noah. If you look at different agencies around the world and how they handle it, if you look at some of the work that's been going on in Australia, you know, we actually need to be really asymmetric with our harassment of gangs and our prosecution of gangs. It is an unacceptable thing in New Zealand that those guys are allowed to push drugs on our kids and our people across New Zealand. So I guess what I'm struggling with is it's lovely talking about the concepts of, retributive justice and all that good stuff, and I get that intellectually, it's wonderful, but actually in the real world, what are you going to do? You know, because you're telling me, how does that work and how do you get a better outcome with that? And I just don't see how you get a better outcome, and I haven't seen evidence to say that's going to happen around the world. So job number one, and I'm sorry I'm being so blunt about it and pretty direct about it, but you know, you've got to have zero tolerance for gangs, because if you're going to start permitting that stuff, you know, jeepers, I mean, you've got some other problems coming.
That was National Party MP Christopher Luxon. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.